This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Tuesday, and I'm here with Alyssa Farah Griffin. This is Behind the Table. All right, Alyssa, we had a big show today, a really great show, I think. It was a little wacky in times, but it was pretty good. We had White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre with us today. And what were your takeaways from the interview?
So it was so nice to have her in person because we've had her on quite a few times remote because obviously she's super busy. I think the Biden administration, I've praised the Biden administration on their steadfast support for Israel while also saying that, you know, the Israeli government needs to be thoughtful about their strikes and intentional and minimize civilian casualties. And I think she's a really strong spokesperson for Biden because I've known Karine Jean-Pierre in political world for some time, and she's actually more progressive probably than the president. And she's got a lot of credibility with young progressives. So I think it's important for people to hear her perspective as somebody who's on the inside, has a ton of information, and is willing to speak out so forcefully. So overall, good. I asked her about Congresswoman Jayapal's comments this weekend regarding rape and sexual assault of Israeli women on October 7th that a lot of us felt like was sort of glossing over the issue. The press secretary is very, very strong in condemning the sexual violence. I wish she would have spoken specifically to Congresswoman Jayapal's remarks, but listen, she's good at her job and she's very disciplined.
In her role, she's always going to be careful in mm-hmm. those moments, and because, as she said, she's speaking for the White House, which is tough.
Because a lot of times White House staff end up switching to the campaign when the campaign gears up. I think she would be so effective for Biden world on the outside working on the campaign. So curious to see if down the road she makes that transition.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like there's only so long that press secretaries want to be in that role. It's a tough job. I mean, you talk about how hard it is to be a View co-host. I think that's one of the few that you look at and you're like, oh, that's a rougher gig.
I think Seth Meyers made that joke when I got named. They're like, imagine going from being Trump's comms director to a View co-host. Like, which is worse?
Well,
this is much better.
I was going to ask. Yeah. Thank you. I'm glad to hear it. You know, you mentioned that she hadn't been here in person in a while. She's one of the few people that I'm willing to occasionally do a remote interview with.
Oh, totally.
Because,
yeah.
I do think what she brings to the show is really important mm-hmm. and to speak for the White House. I try to limit, since the pandemic in particular, I try to limit how many remote interviews I'll say yes to. So right now it's her and Chris Evans, Captain America, are pretty much the right. lines where I'm drawing at this point. But it was great to have her in person. Speaking of the White House, you, Sarah, and Anna all went to the White House holiday party last week. I was not invited, so tell me how it was.
So it was so much fun. Sarah, Max, and Justin and I, so Sarah's husband Max, my husband Justin, we all went together and we walked over from our hotel. And I was kind of like, on the inside, I was nervous because I hadn't been back to the White House since I worked there. But I was trying to be like cool and like, I know how to get around. I took them to completely the wrong entrance, made us walk in the rain. But we had such a blast. The Bynes are super gracious hosts. The decorations were honestly, like my favorite I've ever seen. It was sort of like felt like Candyland or something.
I saw some pictures. Yeah.
Yeah. And I hadn't decided beforehand if I was going to do you can do the photo line with the president and the first lady because I just sometimes you can end up waiting in line for a long time. But they did it super well. So it was streamlined. And my husband and I jumped in and it was so funny. Biden was very kind to me. But the first lady is so charming. So Justin gets super awkward and is like not sure if he should put his hand on her. Mm-hmm. So he's just awkwardly standing with his arm behind her. And she goes, first, you can call me Jill. And also you can put your hand on me. And he's like, OK, Dr. Biden.
You know, the floating hand, I tell you, as a guy. So I take a lot of pictures with celebrities and actresses and models and things like that. And for years, I mean, working in television for a long time, I have mastered the floating off the side of the waist by about 6 inches hand.
Correct.
Because it just feels creepy. I just never want to give somebody the impression that I'm
completely.
Yeah, I don't want to be awkward. So.
And Max, I guess, felt the same way. So we were both very pleased to see our photos came out well. But it was really fun. We got to see a lot of, you know, friends of the show. We hung out with John Carl for quite a bit. hung out with my old friend Ari Melber from MSNBC. And but what I kept thinking about, because I'd only attended the party before as a government staffer, either as Pence's press secretary, as White House comms director, or even when I was at DOD, it was the first time I got to just actually enjoy the party, because you forget that you're in the East Wing, but just yards away is the West Wing, and everyone's still on the clock there. At 7 p.m. to, you know, as late as 9 p.m., people are still working at the National Security Council. I guarantee Karine Jean-Pierre went back to her desk afterward, sure, had more work to do. So it was just like, it was funny being on the other side of it, but also reminded me of, like, regardless of your politics, those jobs are so crazy. And in this environment, too, just kudos to the people who are willing to do them.
Speaking of photos and things like that and the holidays in general, you posted on Instagram yesterday a fun photo with two of our holiday elves from the studio, something we've been doing every day for the giveaways. But you made a point to say that social media is a highlight reel, especially during the holidays, basically pointing out the whole Instagram versus reality thing. Why was it important for you to say that?
Well, so God's honest truth, I got this really cute photo with Nikki Kane, our social media coordinator, and I liked how I looked in it, I liked how everyone looked, and I wanted to post it, but I had a crappy day yesterday. Just hands down did. Some days in any job are going to be tougher at work. I think the news environment starts to get to people. It's just, I was just honestly feeling down, and as I was thinking about posting it, I was like, maybe I should mention that, because our lives, especially as hosts of this show, I sometimes look at my page and I'm like, Is this actually a reflection of me? Because people might look and be like, oh, my gosh, she was with Julia Roberts today and she was like with this person, the other. It's so cool. But that doesn't mean that we're not all going through, you know, could be going through things, or that the holidays also can be a tough time for people.
Absolutely.
I love them. They're full of joy. But it's also if you have estrangements, if you've had losses, it's a good time just to remember that Instagram's not real life. Everyone's life looks more perfect than yours. We've all got struggles, and we could be easier on each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, the set is joyful and full of warmth and holidays. All the holidays are represented out there. But then we're talking about the real world, and we're mm-hmm. talking about really hard, divisive things. And it's a good thing to remember. I think mm-hmm. you're right, that it's not easy for everybody. It's not easy for anyone, really.
Yeah.
But it does look glamorous in a photo, so it's good. I got my photo with Julia Roberts, too. That was lovely. Speaking of Julia, we talked about love and relationships. She was on the show yesterday, and that was a really cool thing. She said, the secrets to a happy marriage are lots of kissing. Someone told me that one of Justin's love languages, this is a thing that we were talking about mm-hmm. with Sunny yesterday, because Sarah's always pushing love languages on it. I think it's a little hokey. What do you think? You like this stuff?
Oh, I totally believe in them.
Of course you do. Justin's love language is gift giving, but I hear you're not so confident in your gift giving skills. Talk about this.
This is true. My husband and I both share the love language of communication, but where we diverge is the love language of gift giving. One of the many ways he shows love is great gifts. And most of the time that we were dating, he made a lot more money than me and had the means to get me nice things. And mm-hmm. I remember, like, wee little government staffer, you know, barely making ends meet, being like, how am I going to get him a gift that shows how much I care about him when I'm on a, like, shoestring budget? And I'm not even really good at the thoughtful things either. Like, you and I talk about this because your wife's good at thoughtful ones.
She is.
I'm working on that. But he pretty much hands down has always knocked my gifts out of the park. And then I come back and it's like cologne every year. So actually send in reader tips. What could I get that's thoughtful for my husband that says I love you?
When I was dating my wife at our first anniversary, she gave me a little tiny book, like a little journal. And it was all the things I've loved about our first year together. And it was the sweetest thing in the world. I still have it. And then the next year she said all the things I loved about our second year together. And she did this year three, year four, year five, and then it stopped. And I said, honey, are you not going to do that anymore? She's like, oh, I'm going to do this forever. I'm going to do this for 30. I'm like, yeah, unless you stop loving things. But it's over. It's done.
Well, and actually my husband loved that. He's very sentimental.
I'm sentimental too.
I liked what Julia Roberts said. I agree with that, because I think when you're busy in the course of the day, you can forget like those little romantic moments that of affection that are so important. So I try to be deliberate about always like kiss goodbye when you leave, kiss goodnight, say I love you.
Yeah, I tried that last night. My wife said, what the hell are you doing?
Julia Roberts told me to.
Exactly. No, but it's, the gift-giving thing, my wife's a really good gift-giver and a really thoughtful one. I'd like to think I am, too. But also, because we're both competitive that way, mm-hmm. like we both try to win Christmas, which is really not the spirit of the season. But she usually does, but it's close. I got some good stuff this year. Today's podcast is brought to you by Shopify. Ready to make the smartest choice for your business? say hello to Shopify, the global commerce platform that makes selling a breeze. Whether you're starting your online shop, opening your first physical store, or hitting a million orders, Shopify is your growth partner. Sell everywhere with Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. Turn browsers into buyers with Shopify's best converting checkout, 36% better than other platforms. Effortlessly sell more with Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Did you know Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and supports global brands like Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen? Join millions of successful entrepreneurs across 175 countries backed by Shopify's extensive support and help resources. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Start your success story today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/view. Put it all in lowercase. Go to shopify.com/view now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/view.
This is Sunny Hostin. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/view. Just go to Indeed.com/view right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/view. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. So one thing we didn't get to talk about on the show, the Golden Bachelor finale was last week. He proposed to Teresa Nist. What was your take on the show's ending?
Okay, so I was actually surprised. I was convinced he was going to choose Leslie.
Yes.
I really was. The only time that I thought it started to shift in Teresa's direction was I did feel like his family was a little more connected to her.
Mm-hmm.
And especially at his age, but with any relationship, how the family feels is one of the most important things. I was happy, though. They seemed genuinely in love. I remember when Gary came on the show, it was because obviously the season had finished taping, he came on our show, and he said, like, he found the one, he found love again. I'm glad it went that way. My only thing that I kind of struggled with is, this has happened before on The Bachelor, it happened in Ben Higgins' season. He said, I love you to multiple people.
Yeah.
And Ben got a lot of criticism for that, but I kind of was even more surprised that Gary did because he's a little bit older and I think knows the weight of that word more. But if mm-hmm. you're listening, ABC, people who make decisions, I actually think Leslie would be a great Golden Bachelorette.
Okay.
So maybe she makes a comeback in our lives.
Do you think they do a Golden Bachelorette? I can't tell.
I know. I can't tell either. I would love it. I think it would be fun. Although, I mean, the women were kind of the best
That's
part of
the
season.
Thing. And I just feel like, you know.
Right. Could old men carry it the way the women did?
I feel like... I feel like this Golden Bachelor was kind of a diamond in the rough,
right.
And I worry about like a field of 25 Golden Bachelors.
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, why try to remake perfection?
But I'm curious to see. Yes. But I've enjoyed it too, and yeah, I mean, the quick "I love yous" is always kind of one of those things. Like, well, do you really?
Well, and I'm old fashioned, and I genuinely don't believe you can be truly in love with two people.
Right.
I think you can have super strong feelings. I think you'd be deeply infatuated with two people. You'd probably be deeply infatuated with a few people. Mm-hmm. I don't think like the love that you have in a marriage you could share with two people.
Right.
I know I'm young. Tell me I'm naive, but I really strongly feel that.
Who said I love you first? You or Justin?
He said it first.
Okay.
But I already knew I loved him.
Okay. You were just waiting for it.
It was waiting.
All right. Understandable. There was a story on Hot Topics list today that we didn't get to because we spent a little extra time with the press secretary. Mm-hmm. It was about Adam Driver, and maybe we'll do this tomorrow, but let's get into it here. Mm-hmm. He was being interviewed by CNN's Chris Wallace, and Chris told him that he didn't look like the typical movie star and wondered if that hurt or helped his career. Chris is taking some heat for this. What did you think about it?
So Chris is a colleague. Chris Wallace is a colleague and, I mean, just an extraordinary journalist.
Absolutely.
And somebody who I have, like, the highest level of respect for. So I preface all this, but I didn't love this question.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Chris Wallace cited a New Yorker piece about Adam Driver that went even further. And then they called him, like, horse face. Couple of things. First and foremost, I think Adam Driver's hot. Like, I was on the Star Wars ride in Disney World with our producer, Molly Kessler, who also thinks he's a babe. And there's a part where Kylo Ren, like, you think you're going to get kidnapped by him. And we're both like, take me now, Kylo Ren. So I reject this notion that there's sort of this, like, unilateral one beauty standard. But I also think that we should have learned by now, like, in our day and age, beauty standard shift, and some of the most iconic actors of all time are people who don't fit into a box or like look like the definition of beautiful.
Right.
And I mentioned this in the morning meeting, but there's this old clip that kind of went viral recently of Whoopi sitting down with Joan Rivers. And Joan, and she didn't frame it as harshly as I felt like Chris did, but makes a comment to Whoopi like, well, you're not necessarily the, you know, the standard bearer for beauty. And Whoopi has this like, just self-love answer, which is like, well, I'm beautiful and I'm okay with it. And it just goes to show, like, if we all looked if you look exactly the same, for one, you could just end up getting lost in the right. competition of it or whatever. But also the standards change. I hate that this is still a thing in 2023.
I think one of the reasons this kind of caught people's attention is because it was talking about men.
Yeah, for once. But
a man talking to a man.
And I think that Adam showed that he was bothered by it. He didn't mm-hmm. try to brush it off. I thought that was actually important and powerful because we've had more men kind of chiming in about how comments on their looks affect them. Taylor Lautner did the same thing, too. I think it's an ignorant perception that you have to look one certain type of way to be like a movie star in Hollywood.
Now, it's an interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. If we end up doing it on the show, this will be a nice preview. But
yes.
I think it was worth doing. All right, before we go, let's get our weekly dose of Bravo talk. America loves it. Our audience loves it. Tonight is a new episode of Winter House, and you're really into this storyline of how long you should wait after sleeping with someone to hit on someone else. I don't watch this show, so tell me what's going on.
Okay, I mean, this is just nuts. There is we'll call them a situationship in the house where they've been hooking up for the duration of this. I think it's like a 6-week ski trip that they're on. But no, you know, commitments made or anything. It's a platonic. We've had a bunch of drinks and whatever at the end of the night. But the guy ends up going like 30 minutes after sleeping with Danielle, starts hitting on one of the other housemates.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if there's a rule for when you can hit on someone else after having sex with someone, but I know 30 minutes is too short. That much I know.
Yeah, without leaving the house.
Leaving the house. But also, like, another thing I am old-fashioned on, and science technically backs this up, is I do think that women get emotionally attached when they have sex. There's a few exceptions. Whoopi knows that she is a hit and run. But more or less, a lot of women are going to feel some level of connection. It's also a respect thing. Like, if you're going to have that level of intimacy, then have the respect to not flaunt something in front of their face. But yeah, this season's bringing drama, and I love it. Southern Charm's also bringing drama, and I'm loving it.
All right. So what is the what is the waiting period in your mind?
Oh, my goodness. So to be honest, I'm not as prudish as Sunny, but
Few are.
I've only slept with men I'm in a relationship with. So if they slept with someone else afterward, that's problematic on a whole number of things. So I haven't really asked myself this. But yeah, I don't totally know the culture of like it's a casual thing as
right.
well as some people do. But I mean, out of sight, you know, not within the friend circle, not with, you know, something that they're going to have to see. That's kind of a baseline, I think, rule of who you're allowed to sleep with.
Okay, one thing I wanted to mention is last week we had a conversation about Bravo, and someone tweeted that you came out as bi on last week's podcast, and I feel like I made a mistake by not following up on that. And people said to me, you really didn't follow up on that at all, Brian. And I just wanted to revisit. Do you want to revisit that moment last week?
Well, it was in the context of Kyle Richards and Morgan Wade, her friend on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, who, like, there's speculation that they're more than friends. And I do see chemistry there, but I'm going to let it play out. But I did say if for any reason my husband and I didn't work out, I think I would date a woman. And I stand by that. But I told my husband I made the comment. And he just kind of smiles. And I'm like, are you thinking about what woman it would be? Or are you honored that no man would compare to you? Because I think that's how we took it.
A little bit of both. Yeah. The comment I found was just like a heads up. Alyssa low-key comes out as bi in this podcast episode, which, you know, yeah.
But you know what? I do. Listen, it's a spectrum. I think everybody's got, like, we're all on a spectrum.
More power to you. I just wanted to, I felt like I missed a moment to follow up in the last podcast.
I feel like in some senses women would be easier to date, but no, marriage for life to my husband.
Fair enough. All right. Well, on that note, thank you for joining me today, Alyssa.
Thank you.
Tomorrow we have a special episode where I'll be joined by Sarah Haynes, an actor and comedian and View superfan, Matt Rogers. Thanks for listening.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.